The Lighthouse Retirement Hour is brought to you by Martin D. Parlato & Associates, LLC, a Florida-registered investment advisory firm with your host, Martin Parlato. Firm number 147403 and only conducts business in states where registered or exempt from registration. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers of questions does not and is not intended to constitute the rendering of personal investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional investment advisor should be consulted prior to implementing any of the information discussed. The subject matter discussed on this show represents the political, personal opinions, and personal financial opinions of Martin D. Parlato or other attributed authors and sources, either in whole or excerpts. Financial opinions are based upon the research undertaken by Mr. Parlato or purchased by Mr. Parlato and may not be suitable for your particular investment needs. Always remember that investing in the stock market involves risk, and we do not guarantee a profit or protection against losses unless you decide to purchase products designed for that purpose. You should carefully consider your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial objectives before making investment decisions. By investing, you run the risk of losing money or losing buying power. Risk can be classified into many different categories, and by knowing those categories, you can better manage expectations and avoid or reduce certain kinds of risk. For even more information about investment risk, see FINRA's webpage about managing investment risk or send us an email request through our website and we will forward the link to you without obligation. Now, sit back and enjoy today's show with your host, Martin Parlato.
And welcome back, Jacksonville, the beach of St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Green Cove, Fleming Island, Amelia Island, Daytona, the villages. Welcome back to this production of the Lighthouse Retirement Hour for Saturday, August 5th, 2017. Let's find out how the stock market really works. So where do we start today? You guys want to talk about my contribution to Royal Caribbean's excellent earnings report this week? Shares were up nearly $6 on Wednesday, another couple of bucks on Thursday. I guess I should have looked at my bill before I got off the ship. Turns out that just as I had told you months ago on these very airwaves, you can't get a discount on a cruise right now. I paid full price to go to Clinton Island in Haiti and to the Harlem of the Caribbean, Jamaica. Do you want to talk politics? I got another mellow, harshing email from some Yahoo a few weeks ago claiming that I was trying to scare people with all of these politics. I should stick to what I know. But it turns out I predicted utter chaos in the White House. Before I left on vacation, I predicted that heads would roll. I just didn't know it was going to be the mooch's head. I knew it was going to be spicy. I knew he was going. If you aren't already scared by the chaos in Washington, the politics, your Congress, your government, well, you better get scared because we're set now for a showdown on the budget, a showdown on health care, a battle royale on tax reform, and some folks now want to substitute infrastructure spending for tax reform. I say no. I say don't do it. Don't fall into that trap, Mr. President. That's the Democrats trying to talk you into that. Don't do it. Go home or go big. Go tax cuts or go home, Mr. Trump. You people in Congress better listen to me. You better give this man the support he needs because you little guys, you little people, you regular everyday Americans, your retirement depends on them getting tax reform. Jim Cramer of Mad Money did a show on Monday. When I returned, I got back on Sunday morning, pretty much vegged out all day Sunday, trying to get over my meat rush and my alcohol rush. Well, actually, I didn't do that. I don't drink as much as I used to be honest with you. Anyway, I tried to wean myself off the buffet table all day Sunday. By Monday evening, I sat there all evening just watching reruns of Jim Cramer's Mad Money, trying to catch up on whatever I had missed. And there he was, all bald-headed and depressed and dire. Dour, maybe, is a better word. The world was coming to an end. The politics, he thought, was too much. The Republicans' fiasco re-healthcare. The Republicans' fiasco re-the president's administration. It was all too much for him. The world was going to come to an end. I thought he was going to jump out a window any minute. Or maybe, at the very least, put a pillow over his head and try to suffocate himself. But then in a blink of an eye, as all of us good manic depressives do, by Tuesday, he was ready to get back on. He was ready to go. Things are going to be great. Apple turned in an amazing quarter. Just because I don't talk about Apple as much as I used to, it's only because I'm not trying to give away all of my secrets. I was on the Apple conference call, must have sent out 10 or 11 emails to our clients via the Gemini private client portal. I thought it was a remarkable conference call. Did you listen to the conference call? Probably not. Maybe the politics won't matter. After all, if earnings remain good, maybe the politics won't matter so much. That's what Jeremy Siegel says. He says, Dr. Siegel says, it's all about low interest rates. It's all about great corporate earnings. And, oh, yeah, a weak U.S. dollar. I think I agree with Dr. Siegel. Maybe you guys want to talk about Apple, the company that will, I don't know, according to the media, never sell another iPhone. Apple's this just another ordinary, common, run-of-the-mill 2-bit phone maker, now with $261 billion in cash in a shoebox. $261 billion in cash under the biggest, most gigantic mattress in the world. I haven't talked about Apple in a little while, but that does not mean I've forgotten about it or that we aren't way, way, way overweight Apple shares. But if I told you I spent Tuesday sipping Crown Royal, burning Arturo Fuentes numero unos, would you be interested in knowing what I think about Apple going forward? Our clients had another great week, and if you were a client, you would have known why I was sipping Crown and toking on Fuentes. Before my well-deserved vacation, and I want to thank all of my clients. You guys were great. You sent me great emails saying, Marty, have a great, well-deserved vacation. Enjoy. Don't forget to take your swimsuits, you said to me. Have a drink for us, you said. And we promise we won't call and bug you until you get back. But before my well-deserved vacation, I talked with you about the mooch, Anthony Scaramucci, a Paisano. I told you heads would roll, and I asked you to pray for him. And just as I predicted, Spicy got axed by the mooch, and more firings were coming. But alas, you did not pray hard enough. You did not pray for the mooch. Or maybe you hadn't heard my show by the time. That's probably what it was, because now that I think back, you hadn't heard me tell you to pray for the mooch. You didn't hear that until Saturday, and that was well after the mooch had already gone on his profanity-laden rant. I was sitting in the Harlem of the Caribbean. I flipped on the TV before bed, only to find out that the mooch had gone full-blown potty mouth. His inner mafia, and we all have one in us, and from time to time they get unleashed. I know it's true. It happens to me. I knew right then there would be no mooch by Monday morning. Then I heard that General Kelly comes in, and to put it in the vernacular that even the mooch would appreciate, bada bing, bada boom, the mooch is gone. And I knew that as soon as Kelly was appointed. That's all the politics for me today. I barely watched any politics at all this week. I barely watched any. But I did start watching a a new Netflix show. Actually, I watched the whole thing. Now, I've edited this in and I've edited this out because I'm torn. I'm confounded. I'm befuddled. I'm befuddled. Should I tell you about this new Netflix show that I watched the whole series? It's only one season, so it's a brand new one. It stars Justin Bateman, and I always liked Justin Bateman. Okay, I watched it all. Called Ozark. Ozark. Should I tell you about it? I don't know if I should tell you. Okay, I'm going to tell you anyway, because I trust you. I trust you not to hate me when you hear this story. It's about a financial advisor. Oh, right? So something I know a little bit about. You think I didn't really watch it because it was about a financial advisor. I didn't even know it was about a financial advisor. I just watched it because Justin Bateman was in it, and you know, and I like the guy. But it's about a financial advisor turned money launderer for a huge drug cartel. Does that cast aspersions on my industry? Does that kind of bring back reminiscences of Bernie Madoff? Does it cast a doubt as to my fidelity and trustworthiness? I thought about this for a long time. But anyway, it's called Ozark. I'm not sure I should tell you about Ozark because the leading character's name, you guessed it, is Marty. Is that a coincidence? I promise you, I know nothing about money laundering. I've never used drugs. I know no cartel killers, and we don't accept cash from clients. But it's really a very good show. Not right for the kiddies, but it's a really good brand new series from the good folks at Netflix. Only one season so far, so be warned. I think there's more to come, and it's a real cliffhanger ending. How can I make money on this, Marty? I don't want to hear about your TV viewing habits. Netflix is an escape expense. It's where you go to escape. Escape. It's experiential is the term that people use. It's a cheap, affordable luxury. And there's news this week that Netflix is seeking partnerships in China. So maybe there's an investment thesis there that you and your advisor should consider together. How about all of the great earnings reports since last we spoke? Do you have an interest in hearing about any of that? How about Irene Rosenfeld stepping down? Who's Irene Rosenfeld? CEO of Mondelez. Who's Mondelez? Irene Rosenfeld is stepping down from Mondelez, the company formerly known as, should have been known as, should soon be known as, should certainly be called Oreos, after having fought to improve sales and profitability amid an upheaval in the packaged food business. Anyone who presides over the naming of the number one cookie company in the world, Oreo, and chooses a ridiculous, horrendous, stupid, ignorant name as Mondelez is a woman that I think should have been fired, I don't know, 2 seconds after she named it Mondelez. Is there an investment theme there? Kraft, the former owner of Oreo cookies, who spun it off a couple of years ago, prompting Oreo Cookie Company or whatever the heck they were called to change the name to Mondelez. Kraft is looking for a deal after spinning off this brand a few years ago. Many think that Kraft may try and reunite the two companies. I'm not sure that happens. But, you know, cookies are a real good business. And there's a lot of companies. There's a lot of companies that need a snack. I don't know. Coca-Cola could use some snack foods. There's a lot of companies that could use a great brand like Oreos. One thing is for certain. The new CEO may have different plans than Ms. Rosenfeld. Is there an investment opportunity there? nice dividend. If you want to know the ways that I'm thinking about making money this week, if you want to have the chance to think outside the box along with me, why, this is your big chance. It's a visionary show. You're not going to hear any of this visionary investment advice anywhere else. These are all original thoughts. I made most of this stuff up myself. I have a huge show for you guys today. It's all coming your way right here on part one of the Lighthouse Retirement Hour for Saturday morning, August 5th, 2017. But first, you have to pay the price of admission to today's show. You must agree to allow me to plug my wealth and investment management firm, and you must agree to at least consider making an appointment to consider becoming our next great client. A one-on-one personal meeting with me will certainly be the most interesting meeting you make all week. It may be the most important thing you do for your investment and retirement accounts all year. It may be the most valuable time you invest in yourself and your wealth and your family all year. I am Martin Parlato. The name of my firm is Martin D. Parlato and Associates. We are a registered investment advisory firm. We do business as Lighthouse Retirement. My website is lighthouseretirement.com. We are a local firm, not some national marketing firm. This is at its core a money show that combines money news, politics, because I believe that politics and money are interrelated. Our singular business goal is helping you try and make more money in the stock market by helping you become a more informed investor and hopefully allowing you to prosper and prepare for your own retirement. There's no magic to what I do. It's just diligence and hard work and research, and we always put your interest ahead of our own, and we never accept a commission on any security that we offer. The show only works for us both if you decide to consider becoming our next great client. If you like my thoughtful approach to investing in the market and the news and the stock information that I bring to you each week, then I think maybe we should meet in person. Here's how you guys can reach out to me personally today. To reach me in Jacksonville, the beach of St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Amelia Island, the surrounding areas, you can call me today or during the week at 904-234-8080, 904-234-8080. I've made it easy to make a complimentary meeting with me in person without any charge, without any obligation. You can just call me after the show today or during the week, or zip right over to the website, lighthouseretirement.com. Most pages, you're going to find a blue button that reads click to schedule your own meeting. Do it right now. You can even stop listening on the radio, open up your iPhone, download the podcast off my website, go ahead and make the appointment while you're driving right now, and you can continue right back from the podcast if you want to. Click the blue button, pick a day, pick a time, and that meeting is all set. You're going to receive a call or a confirmation email from me shortly thereafter with directions to the office, a map, and a list of documents you might consider bringing to our meeting. If you guys want to get ahead of the meeting and speak with me today, or you're tempted to buy an annuity or some other less than frugal decision with your money, please call me after the show. I do try and answer the phone. Why not make us appointment listening each week? My shows are aired in Jacksonville, the beach of St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Fleming Island, Amelia Island, Daytona to the south, the Villages to the west, on FM 101.1, AM 600, part one Saturdays at noon, part one and two together, Sunday morning starting at 9 a.m. right before that big pickleball game. Let's talk about my vacation to Clinton Island, a.k.a. Labadee. I thought you might like to know. And in the second leg of my vacation, Little Harlem, the Harlem of the Caribbean, Jamaica, all courtesy of Royal Caribbean International Cruise Lines. So we get to this rock, this big giant rock in Haiti called Labadee, and it's all brand new looking, with this brand new gigantic. Remember, we're already on the largest cruise ship in the world, right? We were on the Allure. And this dock is big enough to hold, I don't know, another one almost as long. This is some piece of some part of Haiti that's all brand new with this brand new huge dock. Now, I can't get anything from Royal Caribbean for free without paying for it. I mean, this is, as companies go, this is one cheap company. These guys squeeze a nickel harder than I do. And so I know that as cheap as they are, that they did not pay for this dock to this rock with their own money. So I got to thinking about it, and then I realized Labadee is in Haiti. Haiti. You know, all those poor Haitians are with their shacks made out of tinfoil and cardboard boxes and leftover pieces of plywood, and they got an old rowboat on top for a roof, and they got trash bags for clothes, and they're eating dog, cat. Here's the way I think Clinton Island works. Clinton Island. I don't call it Labadee anymore. I call it Clinton Island. Here's the way I think it works. And if Bill and Hillary Clinton don't like this, they're happy to come on the show and refute the information. And they can even send Chelsea down. I mean, they can send Chelsea. They can send down one of their surrogates if they want to. Here's the way I think it works. I think that what happened is after those hurricanes that destroyed Haiti, after they destroyed Clinton Island, I think Bill and Hillary and Chelsea go down to the thugs that are running Haiti, and they said, hey, we got all this money that belongs to Marty and his clients and his customers and all these Americans, these rich, greedy Americans living over there. We got all their money because we're from the government. We got all this money. Why don't we loan some of this money to the government of Haiti? Well, that'd be nice, Bill. That'd be nice, Hillary. How can we pay you back? Oh, you can't pay us back directly. No. You can't pay us back. But what you could do is you could build a brand new 10-trillion-foot, 7-mile, you could build this gigantic long dock over there on Labadee. And maybe Royal Caribbean would bring the biggest ship in the world there. And maybe we can get some campaign donations from Royal Caribbean. And is that the way it worked? Because I don't know. You know, I can't accuse anybody of this, but all I can say is it's inconceivable to me that the government of Haiti has enough money that they can invest in a gigantic dock like, and the people are living in cardboard houses with tinfoil roofs and rowboats on the top for roofs and tinfoil windows, and they're eating dog. The really poor people are eating their own toes off. It's really hard for me to understand how that country can be in that bad a shape, and yet they can afford this brand new gigantic dock. I don't know. I'm not a smart man, but I kind of think that that's how that worked. And then there was the Harlem of Jamaica, the Harlem of the Caribbean. I call that Jamaica. Royal Caribbean used to go to the capital of Jamaica, Kingston. That's where you could get the red stripe, and you could get your ganja, and you could get whatever else it is that you wanted when you actually got there. And I haven't been back there in 20-some-odd years. But now they go to some outpost called Falmouth. And what they've done is they've created this dock wherein Disney goes on one side and Royal Caribbean goes on the other side. And the two ships are parked at an angle and they form like this V. Like this V. Like a V for victory. But at the open end of the V, they've got barbed wire and gates and everything. And all the locals cannot get in. And right outside the gates of this place is a serious slum. I mean, you're talking about serious. When you talk slum, this is serious slum outside the gates of the port. So what they did, the ship companies have done, is they've gone in and they brought in the Diamond Internationals, and they brought in all these money laundering companies, right, that all deal in cash and don't pay taxes. You know, they brought in Diamonds International and Diamonds Universal and Diamonds Caribbean, and they brought in Dairy Queen. They brought in a Dairy Queen. They brought in a Dairy Queen. to the Harlem of the Caribbean. And then they paved all the road between the two ships, and they gated it all off. I'm not saying I really wanted to experience Falmouth. I did experience Falmouth. I took a trolley tour. How stupid is your host? I took a trolley tour of the slums. But then there was Mexico, and I love Mexico because I know the place to go to Mexico. I love Mexico. I could stay there forever. The internet on the ship was completely and utterly amazing. And frankly, it was the best part of the entire ship experience. I could work, if I could afford to be on the ship every day, I could work from the ship. From the middle of the Caribbean, middle of the Caribbean, however you prefer to say it, I could work. I could run my multiple computers, my iPad, my iPhone, my Wi-Fi phones. I could run my sophisticated professional charts. I could do everything I needed to do. And this is a vast, 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 vast leap in technology. I was sitting in the grand conference room this week with one of my clients who is general counsel reporting directly to the president of the United States, one Donald J. Trump. That's what it says on his business card, right there, smack dab on his business card. We got to talking about how I thought Amazon was changing, was in trouble. Shares are down since the show before my vacation. Shares of Amazon are down nearly $85. Well, that's not so much, right? It's not quite $100, which is not quite 10%. But I told you then that I have some very serious concerns about Amazon. And you guys didn't act on my advice. The market barely reacted to my advice. But I acted on my own advice. I acted on my own comments, and I'm glad that I did. I can't tell you precisely what we did, but I'm concerned that Amazon has some issues. But there we were in the grand conference room, he on one side of the table, I on another side, when I had another one of my truly visionary moments. Remember, I often tell you that being a manic depressive is a really awesome experience. There are times when I see things so clearly that I amaze even myself. And so there we were, I with a blank legal pad in front of me, and he with his myriad of paperwork and folders and briefcases stacked in front of him. And as we were talking about Amazon, I began to diagram some things on my professional legal pad. Now, I had my iPad Pro, and if I really knew how to work the brand new white pencil staring me in the face now, if I really knew how to do that on the iPad really quickly and really well, I would have done all of this on the iPad, and I could have emailed it then to you, or I could have shared it with you, but I'm not as good at all that as I may make you believe that I am. So I'm using the old standby yellow legal pad with a yellow number 2 pencil. And this vision comes over me. Here's the thesis. The thesis is that I think Amazon is running scared. And they are trying to copy the one company that they think has got it perfectly correct. Hear me out on this. This is going to amaze you. You're going to have to take out a cocktail napkin or a yellow legal pad. But hear me out on this. Let me see if I can describe to you what it's quite like to be a manic depressive. In the top left corner of your legal pad, or actually on a legal pad, at the bottom left, I want you to write the word Amazon. And on the bottom right corner, I want you to write the word Apple. That's the company that Amazon wants to be like when they grow up, right? After manic depressive Jeff Bezos finally sobers up. In the top left, above Amazon, write AWS. That stands for Amazon Web Services, which is their entire, nearly their entire profit center. That's where they make the bulk of their money. On the right-hand top corner, write iPhone, because that's where Apple makes the bulk of their money. And under both of them, write Moore's Law. Moore's Law. Moore's Law refers to an observation made by Intel co-founder Gordon Moore way, way back in the dark ages of 1965. That was just a few years after they killed President Kennedy. He noticed that the number of transistors per square inch on an integrated circuit had doubled every year since their invention. And so Moore's Law predicts that this trend will continue into the foreseeable future, that these devices will become more powerful and less expensive per transistor as they become more easily replicable. And that's what AWS and the iPhone are suffering from. These two products, AWS, the cloud services part of Amazon, in the top left of your pad, and the iPhone in the top right, well, these are very nearly commodities. Both companies are striving as hard as they can not to let iPhone prices become commoditized and not to let cloud services become commoditized. And both, therefore, are rising in quality, rising in capacity as fast as they possibly can, because if you should get to the point that you can't deliver that higher quality, that higher value, the price, therefore, has to come down. I told you weeks ago that I thought Microsoft was eating away at the profits of Amazon AWS services. I remember back when I worked for Lilly Cup Company back in the, mid-70s, my boss, Jim Baker, said to me, we would always compete with Sweetheart Cup Company. And we would go to the various states of Alabama, state of Georgia, state of Florida, and we'd always bid on their paper cup contracts. It's a big contract. It served all the schools and the colleges. It's a big contract. Rail car after rail car of paper cups. And we always knew the Sweetheart Cup Company would almost always get the contract. So Jim and I had this theory that if we couldn't get the contract, and the same thing applied for McDonald's. If you go back and watch the story of McDonald's, Lilly Cup Company fired Ray Kroc. We fired Ray Kroc, and that's why to this day you'll never see a Lilly. I think Lilly was bought eventually by Sweetheart, but that was why until years after I left, you would never see a Lilly cup at McDonald's. McDonald's would never have. So what we would always do in the case of McDonald's and in the case of most of the state contracts is we would bid so low, and then we would go home grinning. Well, if we can't have the order, we're going to take all the profit out of it for Sweetheart, and that's the way commodities typically work, right? And that's what Microsoft is doing to Amazon. Microsoft is sucking all the profit out of AWS. And sooner or later, Amazon is going to be left offering this gigantic AWS service with less and less and less and less profit because the value is immaterial, is indistinguishable from the Azure cloud service that Microsoft would argue their cloud service is better. But there are dozens and dozens and dozens of cloud services from which you can run your business. So Amazon is running from that business as quickly as they can, and they're running into new types of businesses. So in the middle of that page, I want you to write down the word services. Services. Right? You got it? Just draw a line from corner to corner, and right in the middle where they intersect, write services. And that's where Amazon's going, is to the services business. And that's where Apple is rushing, is to the services business. So you say, Marty, why do you think Amazon is in trouble? I just told you. It's that services. Apple's service business, as they reported on their conference call the other night, is now a Fortune 100 business, one quarter sooner than Tim Cook originally promised, and Amazon sees that services business and recognizes that if they can't develop a service businesses that rivals Apple's, their AWS service will fall victim to Moore's Law, and the profit will be sucked out of it as they're forced to in, they're forced to increase the value proposition and receive less money for that value by folks like Microsoft and even Apple. And that's why Amazon is buying companies like Whole Foods left and right. My client who works for the president tells me that the day the deal with Whole Foods was announced, he got inundated with advertising from Amazon offering to deliver food in the D.C. area from a whole network of restaurants. And that's services revenue for Amazon. Just like Apple gets a piece out of every sale on the App Store, Amazon wants a piece of every pizza that you have delivered or every taco you take out. I told you a month ago that Amazon is no longer the cheapest on nearly anything that they sell, but what they are is the most reliable and trustworthy vendor in the marketplace. And likewise, Apple has never been the cheapest phone maker in the industry, but what they are is the most trustworthy vendor, the most reliable vendor, the best customer service, and the best experiential vendor of cell phones. Notice how they're both alike in different ways, but the same way. I just ordered a new copier for the office. I ordered it from Amazon, though I could have bought it for about $10 less. It was a $700 or $800 copier. I could have bought it for about $10 less elsewhere, but it frankly wasn't worth the effort for me to set up a new account somewhere else. So I just opened up Amazon. I ordered it and bought it. I did all the research on Amazon. I did all the research either on Google or Amazon, and then bada bing, bada boom, I pushed the button, ordered from Amazon. I got a note this morning on my phone saying it's going to be delivered on Friday. And today I think I'm going to change my mind and I'm going to return it. And I ordered it from Amazon because I have absolutely no doubt that Amazon will issue a refund promptly and quickly, and I don't need to go down that chain of supply to B&H Computers or B&H Cameras or somebody in New York City, somebody I got to fight with and argue with. I know if I decide to return it to Amazon, I'm going to get my money back. As soon as they see that barcode get scanned at the UPS store, I'm going to get a refund. That's why I use Amazon, and that's why I say to you that Amazon, their website, that online thing, is nothing different than the iPhone. They're just input-output devices to a brand that I trust. I trust Apple and I trust Amazon, and that I'm loyal to. I'm loyal to Apple. I'm loyal to Amazon. There is nothing different about Amazon or Apple, except that Apple facilitates on its devices Amazon. It enables Amazon on its devices. Amazon and Apple are transitioning to become service companies driven by big data, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and artificial reality. I think I know where both of these companies are going in the future, and they are more the same than they are different. And if you want to know what I think about both of these stocks, if you want to try and profit from this kind of insight and thinking, I think you should make an appointment to meet with me in person. We are primed and loaded for success, and I am mindful of the ease by which algorithms can wreak havoc on our retirement and on our investment assets. But you should be having conversations with me to try and position yourself for success and to try and protect your life's work. If you'd like to talk about your retirement and your investments, if you want to hash out some of these very real concerns and these visionary scenarios that I see for some of these great American stocks, I'm available to meet with you personally. To reach me in Jacksonville, the beaches, St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Fleming Island, Amelia Island, Daytona, and the Villages, you can call me today or during the week at 904-234-8080, 234-8080. I've made it easy to make a complimentary meeting with me in person without charge and or obligation. Call me after the show today or during the week or zip over to the website, lighthouseretirement.com. Most pages, you're going to find a blue button that says click to schedule your own meeting. Click it. Pick a day. You pick the time and the meeting is set. A little while later, you're going to receive a call or a confirmation email from me shortly thereafter with a map and directions to the office, a list of documents to consider bringing to the meeting, and that's all you have to do. Just show up. We'll have a conversation. It'll last an hour, 2 hours, a week and a half, whatever it takes to answer your questions. And when we're done, we'll decide whether we move forward or not. When I take these cruises or when I travel, even if it's just around town, I'm really working. I am a very observant person most of the time. Most of the time. This morning I locked myself out of the office and had to sit out in the lobby for an hour and a half waiting for somebody to show up that had a key. Really, though, I don't care what the IRS says. When I'm on these cruises or I'm traveling, I'm really working. And so what you might think out loud or aloud is you might say, Marty, what did you learn on your vacation? Give the class a lesson. What did you learn on your vacation? Well, one of the things that I discovered was this concept of an experiential vacation. Now, I was already aware of this new phenomena, this generational phenomena called what's being called an experiential lifestyle. I get it. You guys would rather invest in things like various experiences, go to Disney, go to Universal, go on a cruise, live up in Colorado and go skiing and snowboarding, versus buy a house, sit down, build equity, and live the dull old life that I was raised to live. I had already taken certain positions for our clients in this area of leisure, this experiential leisure. I know that you think that all we ever talk about here is technology stocks, and it's true that I have a great deal of value in them, but we have exposure to these leisure stocks. If you were paying attention to all or many or some of the earnings calls this week, and there were a lot of great earnings calls this week, you had a chance to hear from Royal Caribbean. You had a chance to hear their fantastic quarterly conference call. We have a substantial position in certain leisure shares. I can't tell you whether it's Royal Caribbean or one of their other companies or just through the indexes, but Royal Caribbean ships, and I told you this months ago on the show, I've been telling you this for months, that these ships are sold out, and they're sold out at full price. I know some of you say there you can get discounts. There are no discounts on Royal Caribbean. All of the free perks, all the deals on the – that's all BS. There are no real discounts on Royal Caribbean. These are very sophisticated pricing models. These ships are sailing at full capacity, at full price. I've never paid this much to take a cruise. We have substantial investment in certain parts of this industry, including the technology aspects, right? These ships now control their ports and where they stop, where they go, what stores, as I described to you from Jamaica's story, what ports they go to, what stores are in those ports. And they rake in millions and millions and millions of dollars each week selling crap at every port that they enter. So the first thing that I learned is this concept of experiential lifestyles that this generation, and frankly my generation now, right? Because you say to me, Marty, you're an old guy. You're almost 65 years old. You'd be 65 in 6 months. You're an old guy now. Yeah, but I still want experiential. Yeah, I really don't want any more clothes. You know, as anybody that knows me, anybody that comes into my office will know, you get to see me one. I used to say you get to see me in a tie once. That was the day you became a client. Then you never get to see him. Now I'm down to you get to see me in long pants once. It's usually I wear slacks to the office and a nice shirt. But if I don't have clients coming in by appointment, I'm in shorts and a t-shirt all day. I mean, I have the greatest job there is. I get out of my beautiful car. I walk into my private office. I have my private coffee. I have my apple fritters from over at Publix. I have my Wall Street Journal. I have my computers. I have my TVs go. I have the coldest office in the building. I looked at somebody the other day. There was a TV commercial on the other day, and some guy 6'4" was getting dressed in front of the mirror in his bathroom, and he's like gray hair and gray beard, and you can tell he's at least in his late 50s, early 60s, and he's putting his tie on. And I said to Linda, I would kill myself if I were 60 years old and had to go to the office every day in a tie still, I would kill myself. I would just kill myself if I had to live like that. So this idea of experiential living is not an unknown phenomena to me. I knew these cruises were book solid. I know that these various tours where you tour various parts of the world, these exotic tours, I know they're book solid. I saw something today on New Zealand about the idea that New Zealand, the airport going into New Zealand, Reykjavik or wherever it is that you go in, used to have like 450,000 visitors a year, and they're now in the many millions of visitors a year. So I knew this industry. I can't use any more clothes was the point of that story. Okay? You say, well, why are the malls dying? Well, the malls are dying because Marty hasn't bought a suit in 20 years. The last time I bought a suit was in 1990-something when we almost took over the CSX data operations for them, the IT operations for CSX. That was the last suit that I bought. I'm not going to ever buy another one. Ever going to buy another suit. Okay? Why is Men's Outlet? Why is Joseph H. Bank doing so? Marty's not buying any suits. Nobody. And when I look at you kids going into the, you guys don't know how to buy suits. But at any rate, I digress. So this concept of experiential investing is a very big concept. Right? I love my iPad. If you ask me, which do you like most, the phone or the iPad? I like the iPad the most. I love my iPad. Because I don't have to pick up newspapers. It's a great way. It's just the way first thing I do every morning is watch. I go to the Jaguars.com website and see if they've fired Blake Bortles yet. Any rate, that's my experience. That's my cheap, free experience of the day. The first cheap, free experience of mine for the day. What else did I learn on my cruise? I told you a month ago that Google claims to upload billions of photographs every day into their cloud. And they're mining that data for artificial intelligence, that raw data, machine learning, big data. And that makes Google a unique company. One of about five or six companies that I've identified that I think are truly unique. And the next thing that I noticed was because of this remarkable Voom internet on Royal Caribbean ships that enables everyone on that ship to be on their iPhones and their iPads all day long, to be able to FaceTime from the middle of the Caribbean, home to your families and kids, the amount of data that's going from those phones to that cloud at Google, to that cloud at Amazon, is an amazing, amazing amount of data. While I was sitting on the cruise, I opened up the iPad and I canceled a cruise on Princess because the power of that Royal Caribbean internet was so compelling that it would be irresponsible for me to take another cruise on another cruise line and not stay connected for my client's benefit if I had the opportunity to be that connected, even while I'm on vacation. Do you see what I'm saying? If I have the ability to know what's going on every single day and to be trying to protect my clients every day, and I shirk that responsibility. I noticed on the cruise that the only Nike I saw was on their shoes. I didn't see any shirts or shorts. And the only Under Armour I saw was not the shoes, which is the most profitable part at Nike. I just saw a few shirts from Under Armour that looked like they could have come from the TJ Maxx collection. And so it didn't surprise me when I got home to see Under Armour fall 13% in 10 days, or 15% since it reported earnings. Nobody's wearing their stuff anymore. Is there an investment theme there? I saw people passing off their shih tzus as comfort pets. Emotional. That's right. The lady in the balcony next to us had a shih tzu on the balcony. Can you imagine that? Dogs on a cruise. The next thing you know, it's going to be pit bulls roaming up and down in the elevators trying to scarf the food out of the windjammer. But the point of it is, people spend billions of dollars every year on their pets. Is there an investment theme there? I saw people come from around the world, coming from around the world, to come to America so they could leave out of the port of Fort Lauderdale or the port of Miami or the port of Canaveral, because they'd rather leave out of our ports and go to the Caribbean vis-a-vis going to parts of Asia and parts of the rest of the world that are littered in, shall we say, people that want to cut our heads off. What else did I see? Mr. Trump, I have to tell you something. I have to report to the president something that I've never seen on a Royal Caribbean cruise line, Mr. Trump. I saw Fox News right there in my room in a cabin at Royal Caribbean, right there, just to the right of the dial, next to the left of the dial, CNN. Fox News, CNN, like ebony and ivory. And that's never been the case on Royal Caribbean. Never been the case on Royal Caribbean. I wonder if the elections had anything to do with that. We had a great couple of weeks in the market, my friends. We've had a remarkable year and a couple of really great years, and so many prospective clients want to know, when will it all end, Marty? Surely it's going to end, Marty. I know as soon as I put my money to work, I know I'm going to be the last guy in the lifeboat. I know I'm going to be the one that causes it. I'll be the straw that broke the camel's back. Wells Fargo Scott Wren writes a note to investors. Dow closed above 22,000 for the first time this week. When we look back at history and try to analyze investor behavior near the end of a big multi-year rally in the stock market chasing characteristics, the chasing characteristic is nearly always present. And he's wondering, are we chasing these stocks? Barron's has a similar second half take on all of this. It's strange. It seems strange, they say, to worry about the stock market on a day when the Dow finally reaches 22,000. The trend is the trend, and it's still to the upside. Barron's likes to point out the so-called flash crash of 2015, when the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 1,100 points in the first 5 minutes of trading, and exchange trade funds nearly collapsed. There's a lot going on, folks. Jesse's giving me the two-minute sign, so if you want to know what to make of all of this, you're going to have to make an appointment to come in and see me in the office. If you'd appreciate spending some time with me, sharing some ideas, getting some ideas, I am available to meet with you personally. To reach me in Jacksonville, the beaches, St. Augustine, Orange Park, Middleburg, Amelia Island, all of the surrounding areas, you can call me today or during the week at 904-234-8080, 234-8080. I've made it as easy to make a complimentary meeting with me in person as I possibly can. Call me after the show today or during the week, or zip over to the website, lighthouseretirement.com. Most pages find a blue button that says click to schedule your own meeting. Click it. Just click the blue button, pick a day, pick a time, and the meeting is set. You'll receive a call or a confirmation email from me shortly thereafter with a map and directions to the office, a list of documents to consider bringing. That's all you have to do. Football's back, and my renewed loyalty to the Jaguars is in full blossom. Let's say it proud. Let's say it loud. You guys have a great weekend, and go Jags!
I took a walk in the rain one day on the wrong side of the tracks. I stood on the rail till I saw that train just to see how my heart would react.